The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy all to be here. It's Labor Day weekend. A lot of good things coming up this month. Next week's going to be our rally day, and I'll explain more about that at the end of service. But today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Working through the Pentecost season, the church season, where the Word of God is growing in us. That's what the green reminds us, that the Word of God is growing. Growing in His church, and through His church manifests itself to the rest of the world. So remember that today again with our readings and focusing on Mark 7 again. So I don't think I had anything else beforehand to remind you, but let's begin by singing our first hymn.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the voice of our salvation. Let us come to His presence with thanksgiving.
Praise God, and
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship
Him. Please be seated for our reading. Our reading from the psalm comes from Psalm 146, and you read responsibly, whole verse by whole verse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God, for I have my need.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his wrath departs, he returns to the earth. On every day his hands perish.
Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, is the sea and all that is in heaven, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens his eyes to the blind, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners, he upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God will sign to all generations. Praise the Lord.
We sing.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 35, 4 through 7. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from James 2, 1 through 10, 14 through 18. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. From there, Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be open. And his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all these things well, he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. In the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated for our hymn, Word of God, Come Down on Earth. Amen. If you remember, but it's the Sesame Street thing is what I'm thinking about. There's a little sketch in one of the episodes, people know it pretty well, I think. But it's Grover, the blue puppet-looking guy who's kind of a little crazy. In the Sesame Street sketch, he has this bit where he's trying to educate the kids, I suppose, the difference between near and far. And so it starts out with him being up of the camera, and he explains that, you know, we're going to learn near and far, I guess. And he starts with saying near, and then he runs back as, you know, a puppet can, and then he shouts from way back here, far, and then he runs up to the camera again, he runs over, and he says near, and then he runs back and goes to the backstage or whatever, runs away from the camera and says far, and he keeps doing that for like 2 minutes. If you've seen it, he exhausts himself and he's just panting as he keeps going back and forth, you know, with near and then far, eventually, you know, collapsing and keep the children laugh. But I was thinking of that as the text for today, just because we all know the idea of near and far. The way Jesus comes to us in the gospel lesson in Mark 7 shows two pictures of God showing himself near and far. Something that goes throughout all scriptures. At the creation in Genesis chapter 1, we see God speaking the word to create the whole creation. A very somewhat seemingly distant word. A word that's probably with courage and compassion and power, but speaks a word that is bit far off to create. And then that kind of, you see that in the whole Old Testament, God occasionally comes in close and then he's far. He speaks from afar to his people, and then in things like the Exodus accounts where the cloud of the cloud in the day and the fire, pillar of fire by night, the Lord is near. This works its way through the Old Testament until we reach that time between the Testaments where God is seemingly far, where he is no longer here. And then John gives us that beautiful account of in the beginning again, and then leads us to the Word becomes flesh, that the Word of God is near.
Mark's Gospel, however, doesn't give us that powerful depiction of the Word of God coming near. Mark actually gives us a different kind of Jesus, if you think about it. Because Jesus, in Mark's gospel, comes in hiddenness and humbleness. And in multiple times leading up to even this part in chapter 7, Jesus charges people to not tell anyone what he's done, to not share the work he's done. Even in our section today, when Jesus heals the deaf man and opens his mouth, Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone. But the people can't help themselves and do it anyway. In this section in chapter 7, Jesus is capable of healing the Syrophoenician's daughter from far away by just speaking a word. But then in the next, Jesus actually comes to a man who is deaf and mute, who's brought to him, and he actually touches him. Puts his fingers in his ears, right? He spits and puts his finger on his tongue and the places that need healing. Jesus draws near. And that's what makes Mark's gospel so fascinating for us. Because Jesus doesn't do things with the way we think he should. He comes in hiddenness and humility, oftentimes trying to deceive people, it would seem. Not deceive, but he gives them parables that they don't actually understand. We even read that in Mark, if you read through it and remember. Mark even tells us that Jesus gave them this parable, this teaching, or whatever words he spoke, in order to confuse them more. So what does this have to say about our own situation? Because I think Mark is really the best gospel to answer our own nagging questions as we think about how we approach life that goes on. Because things do seem very confusing. We're not quite sure what to do or what to make of some of the things that are going on in our lives or just around the world. Is God far or near? Too often he may seem far off. As if the word that is being spoken is just much like the Syrophoenician woman, who, she's a Gentile, so she's not part of the promised people. And she comes to Jesus, seeking his salvation, seeking his healing for her daughter with an unclean spirit. And then Jesus responds to her in a really, really weird way. He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus is talking about that. She's talking about the fact that she's not in the people of Israel. She's not part of the tribe that Jesus came, that the Messiah came to save, was God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. And she's a Gentile Syrophoenician who is not a part of that covenant. And so Jesus is reminding her of that fact, that reality, that she is not a part of these things. But her response was a statement of faith. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." It's those words of faith, those words of trust, and that Jesus is the only one to bring about healing, to bring about salvation, to set things right, to put things in order. It was faith in him that Jesus had no other recourse to respond than by saying, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus shows compassion even when the Syrophoenician woman is not a part of the people that Jesus came to save. But this is all early on in Mark's gospel, where it's becoming clear what Jesus is doing as we continue to read. Because shortly after this will be the feeding of the 4,000, which just shows that Jesus has come not just for God's chosen people, but for all of Israel. And that's why the story of the deaf and mute man is important. Because they bring this deaf and mute man to Jesus. And that's when Jesus draws near. He no longer speaks a word that's far off to bring about a healing. But he takes this man privately outside of the crowd. And he does some strange things like Jesus does. Like sticking his fingers in his ears and spitting and touching his tongue. Touching the places that need healing. Touching the places that are broken. I don't know about you, but thinking about how we approach people in our own lives in such intimate ways doesn't sit too well with the kind of sensitivity to cleanliness that we have, especially nowadays, where we're forced or in some ways encouraged and told to stay apart from one another because it's for the betterment of others. We're so far from the people that matter. We're asked to stay apart, the ones that we care the most about. And maybe it's necessary. Maybe we can be and speak that word from a distance and be far. But Jesus shows here that there's a time and place where people draw near and need to see that the place of healing, the place that needs to be taken care of, Jesus comes into. He becomes flesh, and he understands our hurts and our pains. When he touches the deaf man's ears and his tongue, Jesus takes with him and understands the sorrow and hurt and brokenness. When God created with a word from a distance the whole creation, I imagine he probably spoke it with boldly and courageous love. But Jesus here with the deaf man gives a sigh. And he looks up to heaven, the source of all that is good and brought forth to this man. He sighs because he knows our hurt and he knows our pain. He's lived it. He experiences it. And he draws near. He fully enters our suffering and he bears its burdens. And then Mark shows us, as we go from here, that Jesus would predict his own death and resurrection three times as it goes over the disciples' heads, as they don't understand what it all means. But Jesus follows through on that word to bring about the salvation of his people, to bring it to you. Jesus is true to his word, but he doesn't come at a distance. Though he can from afar call to you and claim to you and tell you and create and restore from afar, just like he did with the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. But God in Jesus Christ chose to draw near to you, to come and touch those places that need to be healed. How does this word and work of God enter our lives? In our world, it's becoming harder to speak about religion. People are not really inclined to listen. Our beliefs are considered fantasy by some and hate speech by others. It's hard for us to speak a word that gets heard. But we can, however, still touch the lives of other people. With compassion, we can show we know the source of pain, the loneliness that keeps people up at night, and the fractured relationships that litter their past. We can show compassion and learn to understand and listen to others and the struggles of just getting by in a land of plenty. And maybe it's difficult for us to take to heart that God calls us to be near to the ones that are near us, because there's so many ways, so many excuses, and too often helpful excuses that we use so we're not near one another. But the Lord has called us and drawn near to us. And he has given you all that he has to offer, and that is life and salvation in his name, to restore you and to heal you. Now, I know that healing may not look like the deaf man, where his ears were opened and his mouth was able to speak, and we have our own ailments, our own illnesses that seem to not be healed. But we know in faith that on that day the Lord does bring that healing to its completion, that he does restore and create new life, and you will be in that resurrection. The Lord has drawn near to you. You've eaten his body and blood. He's in you. He comes to you, and he has saved you. And so now we're called to be near to others, to enter other people's lives, one another's lives, to bear each other's burdens. Maybe we can do it from afar and speak those words and bring comfort that way. But the Lord also calls us to draw near because we do know the places that need healing most in our families' lives, our children's lives, our church's lives. Maybe you don't need to be as intimate as Jesus is in our text, but I'm certain if you come and understand one another's burdens and share in it and carry with them, you'll show compassion and assurance of Christ's love for them. God has compassion for his broken world, and he reaches out through us to touch and to restore. Yes, we do desire to speak the words which give life. But when the world will not listen, we can still act. We can put God's love into action. His word may be humble and hidden, but we trust that God's word works, and it will ultimately be heard. The Syrophoenician woman reminds us of that, and her daughter. And the deaf and mute reminds us of how we can draw near to one another, to listen, and to show that compassion. So this day, Jesus has drawn near to you. He gives you his word of promise, and he does it through unlikely things like his church, like people like you and me. Continue to share in one another's burdens. Continue to hear each other out. Draw nearer to those people who are nearest in your life. I'm sure they'll be thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue on page 8 of our worship folder by singing our hymn, Lord of All Nations, Grant Me Grace.
One God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth,
and in all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing our Te Deum, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please stand. God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we place our hope in you and ask your blessing on our leaders and those who serve and protect our well-being. For the police, firefighters, first responders, and military service members, merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have made us all heirs of your kingdom through holy baptism. Holding the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Keep us from showing partiality and making distinctions among ourselves, and make us rich in good works. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, help parents to raise up their children to know you as their help and hope, that they may not put their trust in princes, but hold on to your gracious will. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Great physician, behold graciously the sick and those in any need, especially Wayne, Pastor Flack, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thirza, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. Make your presence known to your saints, especially the ones who are homebound, including Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza, and Jim. Strengthen and encourage them in every need of body and soul. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, bless our communities and your church, St. Timothy. May we continue to live out your reality in our locations. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Faith and Truth and Life Bestowed. Please be seated. take out the insert in your worship folder.